Good morning. We call the Senate Finance Committee to order. Today is Friday, the March the 4th, 2022. It's 9:05 a.m. Please silence all cell phones. Present today, Co-Chair Stedman, Senator Von Imhoff, Senator Olson is not online yet. Senator Wilikowski is here. Senator Wilson is online. Senator Hoffman, I don't see him online yet. But anyway, thanks to Allison and Jake. Today's agenda is SB 111. This is the fourth hearing for SB 111, Early Education and Reading Intervention. My intention is to hear from the Department of Education and Early Development, to have a committee discussion and set the bill aside. Invited testimony is Commissioner Johnson. Please bring yourself forward and anybody else that you'd like to bring to the table. And floor is yours.
Great. Good morning. For the record, I'm Michael Johnson, the Commissioner of Education and Early Development. Thanks for the privilege to be here at the table this morning. I come unscripted. I read through some of the notes of your last hearing on this bill, and you know, my impression was there's some really thoughtful questions at the table about assessment, data, local control, reasons why we have low achievement. And so I'm here to hopefully provide some information, maybe an idea or two, maybe an opinion. You asked for opinions. And so hopefully I'll be more helpful than irritating. But I have there's senators behind me that if it becomes unproductive with me at the table, I can call them up and maybe answer some of your questions. So I hope to help the committee.
Senator Stedman.
Okay. I thought it would be a little different. So you're the professional. We can see our scores declining the last several years. You know, we're not trying to find somebody to take to the gallows. We're just trying to figure out why, as close as we can, we have the decline, like in fourth grade math or third grade reading. In your opinion, I want to hear from you, not my colleagues. You're the professional in charge of the education of our children. Just looking for a direction of what you think will work to, you know, get us at least target us to the middle ground across the states. I'm not asking you to put us number one in the nation, but just not in the bottom 4 or 5. And I'm not saying it's your fault, because we don't have any, you know, I don't know why we're where we're at and the issues over the last several years that got us there. We just want it reversed. Just tell us what to do, in your opinion. Tell us how much it costs. That's when it comes right down to it. And if, you know, if we fail our young children in reading and math right out of the gate, it puts them in a heck of a disadvantage the rest of their career. So that's kind of what I'd like to hear, Mr. Chairman. And later on when we get into the bill, I'd like to find out, you know, opinion of the sections of the bill, what the department, you know, really likes, what they think is okay, if there's any issues they have with it, they think it's the greatest thing since, you know, sliced bread, just tell us. That's all I'm asking, Mr. Chairman.
Doctor, Commissioner.
Through the chair, Senator Stedman. So that's a really big question. So if I ramble, I have no doubt you'll stop the rambling. So first of all, I would just, and if I forget parts of the question, please remind me, but I'll start with saying there's no reason why Alaska's kids can't be number one in the country. So I'm not shooting for the middle of the pack, I'm shooting for the top. When you look at Alaska students and where they live and the context they live in and our cultural diversity, I'm not willing to accept that we shouldn't be at the top. I think that there's more than one thing that we need to do to get there, but certainly I think the beginning of that journey starts with teaching more kids to read, and I think we have evidence of that from other states in the country that have implemented statewide reading policy. We've seen them go from the bottom of the rankings to at or near the top. We don't have to do it exactly like any other state, but certainly reading is so fundamental to everything that happens in school that the pathway to improvement and moving up the rankings start there. I think, though not a conversation necessarily for this bill, that the other avenue there is more career and technical education. In terms of the reasons why, so this isn't a soundbite answer, but I mean, obviously that's something we think about all the time, is can we identify a reason? And you can't identify one reason. Recently read a book about the horrible hurricane that happened in Galveston, Texas in 1900, 1901. And about the time I was reading that, we also put a space telescope a million miles from the planet in the exact right spot. And I thought, why can't we predict where a hurricane's going to land even in 2022, but we can put a space telescope in a precise spot? And as I was reading through things, it occurred to me, because it's the variables. Putting a space telescope a million miles from the planet, we know the variables and they're predictable and we can accommodate them. We still can't exactly predict which storms coming off of the west coast of Africa are going to be a hurricane, because there's so many variables that we can't predict. So when it comes to identifying a reason why we're not performing well, I think there's too many variables for us to pinpoint. But what we can do is identify the factors that we know contribute to success. I think we've done that through the Alaska Education Challenge. Teaching kids to read is a really important factor for not being at the bottom of the list. Having relevant education, both culturally and career, is really important for keeping kids engaged. Having effective teachers in the classroom is the most important component of in-school factors that can contribute to success, and then obviously a safe and secure environment for students. So though I can't tell you one reason why, I can tell you the factors that will lead to improvement. So I'll stop there and see if you want to follow up.
No questions.
Mr. Chairman, if I could?
Sure.
Can you continue and tell us what they are? I'm listening for the solution and how much it costs, so we can make a decision here and put it in the budget, is what we're trying to do. So I hear what you're saying. It's a multifaceted issue. Can't really pinpoint exactly what happened, why we slid. Fine, I understand that. So what does the department specifically want and to implement to move the needle, and how much is it going to cost? Because I don't have the background or the ability to really engage in a discussion of, is that going to work or not work? It's not my field. I'm going to listen to you as a professional to tell me how to get to the solution, and then try to come up with and work with my colleagues to implement it and fund it. It's that simple from my perspective, because I don't have the background. That's why we thought it'd be nice to have the professional here to specifically tell us, I want to do A, B, C, D, this is how much it's going to cost, and as the next several years go by, we'll see if it's working, and if it's not working, you know, we keep moving the levers, just like we do with our oil and gas industry, until we get good results. So if you can help me a little bit with that, and it might be just a list of what's in this bill, then that's fine. I just want to know.
So through the chair, Senator Sedman, Senate Bill 111, I guess I'll start there, and maybe I don't fully understand the question, but Senate Bill 111, I think, is an answer to your question. It has three parts to it, and when we first started a conversation about this bill, you know, I realized one group of people really want pre-K, one group of people really want accountability, and the answer was yes, we need both. And I think Senate Bill 111 addresses both those perspectives. Has three main parts to it. Has a pre-K portion, because we know that to be proficient in reading by the end of third grade is a pathway, and it not every kid arrives at kindergarten at a place to start that pathway at a point that they'll be, that'll arrive at that proficiency point. And so there are students that need to start earlier with those components of reading. So it has a pre-K component, which is essential, and I think we have evidence from around the country and in our own state that that is effective in helping students get on that pathway. Secondly, the bill has reading intervention services. So when a student is not on that pathway that will end in proficiency by the end of third grade, then districts have to provide intervention support services to help that student be on that pathway toward proficiency. And the third part of the bill acknowledges that we are at the bottom of the rankings and that it's going to take some extra resources. I think it's in keeping with what the judge said in the Moore case. In her conclusion, she noted, I think it's page 194 to 196, she said she dismissed the claim that it's a lack of funding. What she said is the state needs to provide more support and oversight to help school districts do that. And I think that is the third part of the bill, is providing more support and oversight with some extra resources from the state to the districts to help them jumpstart the gains they need to make to get more kids learning to read proficiently.
I can build on that, if that's okay.
Yes, yeah.
Thank you. So, Commissioner Johnson, we have a document here, Meeting Alaska's Education Challenge Together, the Alaska Department of Education and Early Development Strategic Plan. How long has that been in existence?
Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff. So I wouldn't characterize it as a strategic plan. We're calling it strategic priorities because it doesn't actually go all the way to a traditional strategic plan's objectives and those sorts of things. But we started that effort in January of 2017, met with lots of stakeholders, have worked with districts, and so the board formally created that document, I think, in late 2017, early 2018, and we've been, the State Board of Education has focused on those five priorities since then.
And they're very good five priorities, and there are five, support students to read at grade level by the third grade, increase career and technical education, close the achievement gap, prepare, attract, retain effective education professionals, and improve the safety and well-being of students. So all very good things. How much progress or success have you had with this, and how are you measuring that?
Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff. So I think that we've made a lot of progress. Evidence of that would be it was a joint education committee hearing that happened sometime this week with the State Board of Education, who is in town for their meetings, and they met before the joint education committees, and the board has formed five committees, a committee around each one of those priorities, and a different member of the board got up and shared objectives that they're working on, like lots of things we could do in under each of those, but like here are the most important things we want to work on, and they shared that with the joint education committees. And so that in itself, that the board is still driving the department to focus on those, I think we've made a lot of momentum. I mean, without talking too long, so, you know, for instance, teacher recruitment and retention, we were able to use some of our COVID response set aside for the department to contract with somebody for the next 3 years to lead a statewide effort to address that issue. We did a study, met with stakeholders, identified, I think, six primary areas, and we're working on those to propose solutions, and some of that may turn into legislation at some point, whoever's working on that. Another way we've moved it forward in terms of closing the achievement gap. This one also addresses reading, as we've adopted a new assessment, and I can talk more about that if it's helpful to the committee. Obviously, in terms of measurement, that's been a challenge the last 2 years because of COVID to get, statewide measurement. But in just a few weeks, students are going to be taking our new assessment, which I think is going to be a great opportunity to get some data that we can apply to each of those five priorities and identify other metrics that we may want to bring into the conversation.
Okay, can I just have the last follow-up, please? So I realize that in the last few years, there has been a decrease in revenue. And so it sounds to me that you haven't, education has been relatively flat funded. It has been flat funded. And so kudos to you to be able to do a lot of this within the budget that you have. And I'm sure it hasn't been easy. But this is pretty, it's significant changes. And other states, Senator Stedman was looking at NAEP scores, and Massachusetts has generally been, if not number one, top five. And I know that they did a big overhaul of their education system many years ago, which helped them, and they funded, they put hundreds of millions of dollars, if not more, towards their education system, and were able to move the needle. Had it ever occurred to you, from 2017 to now, to actually put forward the Education Act for Alaska? Education legislation. This legislation has come from legislators versus the department. I know that there's been collaboration, but I would hope, maybe I'm missing a concept, but along with something as profound as this, did it ever make sense to bring forward a big education act, a plan, transforming education with a goal of moving ourselves up from the NAEP scores and so forth?
Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff. The short answer is yes. So I'm trying to think of how to answer your question without sounding critical. I'm here for the fourth hearing of a bill that I think would be fundamentally, I mean, it has been a long time since there's been a bill in front of the legislature to do this kind of education reform. And yeah, it's only focused on one priority, but it's taken a lot of work and a lot of time just on this one bill. And so a comprehensive education reform bill, given the context that exists in our state with other important issues that are being debated, I think that probably you folks are a lot more experienced in that political and context than I am. I'll say, though, that this bill, I mean, all the credit to the legislators that is due to them, but the reading bill, and Senator Begich is welcome to correct me if I'm wrong, but this started with me going to him and going to the governor and saying, could you please meet together and let's have a conversation about some legislation involving reading. And after some conversations, they both agreed to meet with me and have, like, where can we come together and propose legislation that would have a good chance of getting through the legislature to do something new and different? And it's change, and I understand why the system wants to be very careful, and legislators, from my perspective, I can go to bed at night and sleep really well knowing that there's risk in this kind of change. It's difficult to sleep well at night knowing I'm going to get up tomorrow and do the same thing that's got us the results that we've gotten. And so this bill represents a big change. It's not a comprehensive education reform bill, but it represents significant change. In the department, we're trying to do comprehensive education reform, within the authority we have.
Okay. Could you repeat the last sentence, Commissioner? It kind of tailed off. I couldn't hear you. I'm sorry.
I apologize. Chair Bishop, I said that I think the last part was, that we are in the department trying to do comprehensive education reform within the authority that we have without overstepping that or that sort of thing.
Yep. Senator Wilikowski.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I think I'll try to summarize what I'm hearing and then just give my two cents on this. But I think this bill makes a huge change, I think, in a positive direction towards educating our kids. I certainly share your desire to be number one in the nation, if not the world. I think probably every legislator in this building would share that desire. I think what I'm hearing from the committee and I guess my question as well is, how do we get to number one? What other steps do we need to take to get to number one? I think, again, this makes a big difference. This definitely helps us up the chain. But educating our kids is absolutely critical to our state, to our future. And what other steps do we need to take after this to get there? I think that's what I'm hearing. Because, I like Senator said, I'm not an education expert. I rely on you. I rely on experts. What else do we need to do?
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski. Again, thank you for the question. I mean, you know, maybe in different contexts, I love to sit around and have those kind of conversations. So I'll hopefully not ramble because it's a big, big question. But I'll start with the five things that Senator Von Imhoff just read from the Ask Education Challenge. What we did is we got a bunch of people together and said, look, there's 100 things, 1,000 things we could do for improvement, but we have to focus. Because when I became commissioner, one thing I had observed before is that, you know, we have such a great state of advocates, you know, full of advocates for education, and they come and, you know, everybody has an idea of what to do, but at some point we need to focus everybody's energy, all these advocates, on some common shared priorities. And so we have these five. Reading, as I've said, is the beginning. It's not the end, but it's the beginning of the pathway to improvement. The next thing, though, on those five priorities is CTE. We know that when students take two or more career and technical education classes, that their graduation rates are 20% higher than all other kids. And so we need to expand our career and technical education. It makes a huge difference. NACTEC, I think I've probably mentioned that so many times at this table. It's an incredible program out in Nome. It's a cooperation between two districts. And the students that are in those districts that don't go to NACTEC, their graduation rates are about 20% lower than students that go to NACTEC and take career and technical education classes. And career and tech is not just woodshop anymore, or, you know, I mean, that there's a whole vast array of opportunities for students to participate in, both, you know, online and in person. And Delta Junction, they have a cooperative center there between the school district, the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and industry that's just an amazing voc-ed program where kids go in there and they're creating all sorts of, I'm looking at the chair because he knows more about some of these programs than I do. So that's another way that we know right now that if we can expand those opportunities, that it'll increase graduation rates. Closing the achievement gap, we have a really tragic achievement gap in the state, and that third priority is about really focusing and being unwilling to accept that we should have a gap between ethnic groups or other students. And so we're working with AFN and tribes because they have a strong vision and commitment, and they want to see that close too, and that's been a really fruitful partnership. The fourth area, recruit and retain effective education professionals. We don't want just more, we want effective educators, and so we are working with partners and others, and I mentioned that before. And the fourth one is safety and well-being, and though right now COVID has consumed that part of the conversation, there are significant things we need to do in that area in terms of substance abuse prevention, lots of other things to make sure students are safe and secure in our schools. So those, like focusing on those priorities, is a pathway to improvement. I think underlying that is, you know, a question. I mean, I heard questions about local control and data at the last hearing you had, and I think, you know, those are some underlying fundamentals that are also worthy of conversation that are important for improving the system. We currently have a procurement out. It's been out for a while to have a much more robust data representation on our website so that people can access information, especially based on the new assessment we're giving. So I'll stop there. I talked a while.
Commissioner, you and I have known each other for quite a while, and you touched on CTE, and you know that, you know what, I don't like using the word I, but you know what, I'll take some credit for it, what I pioneered when I came in as Commissioner of Labor, and what we've completed with the Career and Tech Ed Plan. But would you not agree, you can have the best laid foundational plan, but until this state, in my opinion, embraces whatever we're going to pass out of this committee and become law at the end of the day, it's not a one-year thing. It's a generational change if you want it to work. And that's how we've got to get this message down into the local school districts. It's got to be a statewide challenge, not for 1 year, not for 2 years, not for 3 years. It's got to be a generational change. And so I just want to say that, because would you not agree with that?
Yeah. Chair Bishop, absolutely. Education reform or education improvement, whatever you want to call it, there's not a destination that you arrive at and that you're done. It's an always thing. And so I 100% agree with you that it's not a bill that can pass and then we're done. Even with this reading bill, passing this reading bill doesn't fix everything. It's the beginning. It's not the end. And the same with CTE. And it's a mindset about not only the content of our education system, but how we deliver it. Workplace learning. The days of sitting in a classroom and earning credit and calling it good are over. It's opportunities to go out and I'll use tourism, for example. The Alaska Tourism Association works with high school students. They work on the train in the summer. Tourists love to talk to them way more than they do other folks in terms of tour guides, and it gives students an introduction. I had Doug Walrath, as you know, up in Nome, give the board a presentation at our board meeting 2 days ago on all that is happening in NACTEC and all those simulators that Caterpillar donated to them, where students can go and start down the path of getting their CDLs and those sorts of things. So it was a long-winded yes, I agree.
Senator Stebbin has a question. Before you ask the question, Senator, I want to bring the two bill sponsors to the table so they can have a better seat. Please, gentlemen. And I apologize for not recognizing you earlier.
No.
But if you'd put yourselves both on the record, and then Senator Stebbin, floor is yours, sir.
Thank you, Chair Bishop. Senator Holland, District N, Alaska State Senator.
And Senator Tom Baggage, District J, Alaska State Senator. And Senator Holland neglected to mention he's chair of the Education Committee.
Sorry about that, Chair of Education.
Senator Stebbin, sir.
Yeah, so back to the commissioner. I'm not that I'm trying to ignore my colleagues. I don't plan on having any amendments to this bill, and I support the bill. So, we're going to hopefully move this forward, get it signed by the governor, get it funded. And to Senator Wilikowski's question, similar to the one I have, the next step, it's a multi-year, maybe it takes us a decade, I have no idea. But is the department then planning on coming in the next legislative cycle with the next tune-up or the next phase, so we can continue to chip away on this? Because every 2 years we get new legislators in here, and there's a tendency of some things dropping, between the cracks or what have you, or knowledge gaps or what have you, that we have to deal with. So I'd like to hear from the commissioner, Mr. Chairman, what the department's next step is, because this, I would agree, is most likely not a silver bullet that's going to put us on top. And just a real quick point of clarification. I wouldn't mind being on top, but when you're on the bottom, getting in the middle is a good, you know, probably a more probable outcome. But if we can get to the top, I'll take it.
Through the chair, Senator Stedman, for sure, and my apologies if I implied you didn't want to be at top. I just, you know, as commissioner, want to make sure I'm. Anyways, so next steps. I mean, I want to get through this hearing first, and then we'll. I'll think about next year. So I didn't come thinking about that, but I, you know, I would go down the, in terms of, well, I guess, let me say one thing that may be more opinion and speculative and then something concrete for you. So this more speculative is whoever's commissioner and all that sort of thing in the future, I think, you know, what Senator von Imhoff suggested, I would love to see a gigantic collaborative education reform effort in the state where we sit down and say, let's go big, let's go bold, let's do something. And so as other issues in the state are solved, I hope that education can take that next spot of being the dominant issue in our state, and let's go big and go bold and work together. And, you know, we have lots of, I mean, every day in school we tell kids work together, whether you like each other or not, and they get it done. So I have every confidence that we can do it too. In terms of something very practical, I think the next step I would love to see is CTE. We know that, you know, I said to the board in our meeting this week, I said I am 100% confident that if we get more kids reading and we increase our career and technical education opportunities, we'll shoot up that list and our rankings will improve. And so if we get a reading bill passed, I want to, you know, first thing, thank the legislature for passing it. And then secondly, make sure the department does a darn good job of implementing it and making it work and supporting districts. And then start on a CTE plan. And as Senator Bishop mentioned, we have a CTE plan in the state, and so we dive into that and start creating more opportunities. And we have great models like NACTEC and others that we have other districts. Part of what we've done to kind of hopefully build the momentum so when we get there is we've invested some of our COVID set-aside money in CTE projects. So we gave some money to NACTEC to buy you know, CDL simulator and a mobile station and some other equipment. We gave a grant to a CTE program in Delta and others because we're trying to, you know, furrow the ground so that when we get there in a more bold and bigger effort that, you know, we're making progress. We're not just sitting around waiting.
So. Follow-up, and then I have a question.
Okay. You hit on the other point that's not really in front of us today, and that's a lot of the BOTEC work that we're doing. And we're working on that, and it'll appear in the budgets. And hopefully along with this bill and its fiscal notes. But we need the signature of the governor to enact anything. So is the governor going to support your endeavors to improve these scores and deal with the VOTEC? And what I mean by support is enact these into statute and do his part to get the appropriation delivered so we can move these scores and put these young Alaskans into a brighter future for their working career?
Through the chair, Senator Stedman, I've had the privilege to work for two governors, and both have cautioned me about committing them their signatures to anything. So I won't sit at this table and make, you know, any commitment for the governor's signature, but I can say that He has been 100% supportive in the conversations. I know he has communication with Senator Begich. He's expressed support for Senate Bill 111, and so I have no reason to believe that he wouldn't support that. And he has been supportive of the efforts we've made in the department to expand CTE opportunities, so I have confidence that he would be willing to engage in that conversation.
Senator Holland, would you like to follow up on that as well?
Thank you, Chair Bishop. Through the chair, Senator Stedman, thank you for that question about what's the next step. And I just, I didn't want to step on the commissioner's time, but he has been a driving force in this. And the next step, CTE, there's House Bill 136 and House Bill 108 that are making their way through it. Tribal compacting, Senate Bill 34 with Senator Stevens, where we've spent probably, I think we've been in our fifth or sixth hearing. Its problem is the more we talk about it, the more questions we have about it. Senate Bill 225, teacher retention and recruitment, that has a paraprofessional component to it and teacher residency. House Bill 220, teacher retirement, those discussions are happening. And this bill is, once we get this through, the work is just going to start beginning. There are going to be pre-K and early learning programs that are going to have to be developed. There's going to be the Read by Nine infrastructure that's going to have to be laid out. There is going to be a lot of work, but I do believe a lot of the groundwork is being laid for the next step. Thank you.
Senator Begich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Begich, for the record, and I also wanted to respond to Senator Stedman on the issue of so through the chair to Senator Stedman, the issue of governor's commitment to this. I spoke to the governor as recently as this week, and while the commissioner may not be willing to make that commitment because of his position and role, I can tell you that he continues to be supportive of the bill in the form of not just the current form of the bill, but also in the form of the CS that's been suggested by staff in this committee. So in both instances, he's continued to express full support of the bill. It's usually the first question he asks me when I have a conversation, which is, how is that reading bill from the Education Committee going? And so I would say that at this point, I would anticipate any funding attached to the bill would be supported based on those conversations.
Senator Von Imhoff, and then I have Senator Wilikowski.
Thank you. So, interestingly, you talked about CTE. I can tend to concur that that is a significant hook or angle by which to really improve outcomes in a whole in reading and math. A few of us went to Nome this year, and we visited NACTEC, I think is what it's called, and we learned that the cut in the education tax credit has affected them greatly. So, Senator Begich, when you speak with the governor, perhaps reinstating that education tax credit to what it used to be will provide what we found was CTE programs were mostly funded, largely funded by tax credits from local corporations, mining corporations, construction companies, basically natural resource extraction companies. That's gone or much reduced. I would like to amend this bill and return the education credits to its glory days. It's a fiscal impact, no less than, you know, we have 25, up to between 15 and 25 million eventually for this bill. It's significant, but this is, the education tax credits could really help. We saw it firsthand at the significant at the drop of funding with NACTEC. So that's an amendment I'd like to look at this bill. We can take a look at it. But I do have a follow-up, sir, if that's okay.
Follow-up.
When, Commissioner, you expressed your frustration. This is the fourth time we've all been talking about this bill. Come on already, I get it. But when I consider in my life a new plan, I look to see what's in existence now. Is it working? Is it not? right now for early education, this has a significant component of early education. It's reading, but it's early education. There's 6.8 million in Head Start and 3.2 in kindergarten grants. We asked several questions. How are they doing? Boots on the ground. Do you have space for new PK, pre-K programs? How about personnel? Do we have enough money to pay them? We're seeing that childcare is a huge problem because people don't really want to work in the industry. It's not paid well. It's hard work, long hours. How are these working already, and how are we going to change it and make this program better to even help these programs? So when there's conversation starts talking about what's next, to me, I'm a data person. I suspect this is folks at this table, this is what we deal with all day long, is thinking about what works now, admit the ugly, the good, bad, and the ugly, and then talk about ways to improve it. And I think you'll get to resolution faster. So when we start talking about the future, let's look at the data. I put an amendment in this bill to start looking at the PEAKS data that we have now. It's not good. PEAKS data is dismal. Some of it's good, but we got to admit it. We got to look at it. We got to look at the NAEP data and then make specific recommendations of how we're going to do it better. That's just I express your frustration as well. I served 3 years on the school board. I love education. I love when students open up a book and they just stick their noses in the corner and they're immersed for hours.
Senator Wilikowski.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. If we know what the next step is, and it's career and technical education, recruiting and retaining effective educators, I guess my suggestion would be we're about to get over $3 billion in federal funds. We need our workforce in place for the next decade to manage to be able to work on these projects that we have coming down the pipeline. And I'm just wondering if there's any way that we can expedite both of these things. I heard the Senator Stebbins say that we're planning on putting some items in the budget. That's fantastic. I guess my request for you, Commissioner, would be can you get us a list of things or let us know what you'd be willing to support in those efforts this year, this budget cycle, so that we can we don't have to wait another year, because that money's coming in. Workforce in this state is going to be an enormous problem. It already is an enormous problem. It's going to be even a bigger problem when those federal funds, infrastructure funds, come in. And so if we can get on that right away, I think that would be an enormous benefit for the state in both of those areas, recruiting and retaining educators and current technical education. Can you work with the committee and get us what you think would be helpful in those areas?
Senator Wilikowski, could I just add to the end of your request? So the career and tech ed plan that we already have in place, that's still the law of the land as written, it doesn't just point to the Commissioner of Education, just for reference, for reminding people, it has a signature of the Commissioner of Labor and the President of the University of Alaska. So I would suggest, to answer his question, that you're going to have to meet with your other two colleagues, because those three arms, all three of you, make up the education and training and workforce development of the state.
So, through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, I mean, I welcome any opportunity to defer Senate finance questions to other people, so I'll be happy to meet with them. But in terms of trying to answer Senator Wilikowski, I mean, the short answer is absolutely yes. I'll give you an example of hopefully demonstrating my agreement with your notion, and that is I was appointed to the broadband task force. 99% of that conversation, I was outclassed, far over my head, technical issues that I don't begin to understand. But what I did do is I kept popping up and saying, okay, but if we're going to do this, Alaska's kids should be the ones building out the broadband, should be the ones trained to maintain the broadband and should be the ones coming up with the vision of how we're going to use the broadband. So that made it into the final report. And so I agree with you that part of the conversation, it's exciting, you know, on some level to have all this money coming to the state. But I sure hope that part of the conversation about how it's spent is investing in the kids that will be building, implementing, and utilizing whatever projects, whether it's broadband or other. And so absolutely willing to have that conversation, absolutely willing to keep trying to poke it. And it's, you know, I haven't met anybody that's not willing to include that, but we get excited about how we're going to spend it. And, you know, we can build all sorts of things, but our kids should be the ones that benefit from the jobs and the opportunities to build it and implement it. So, yes, willing to have that conversation. Yes, I can go back and, you know, think of projects that may be ready for investment. You know, the one of the projects that we invested in NACTEC is because I was talking to the director out there. He told me about the senator's visit and something that, you know, caught her attention. And I was like, well, we can help meet that need right now. And so I'm willing, ready, and able to do that.
Senator Holland, do you have a comment, sir?
Thank you, Chair Bishop. Through the chair, Senator Holland, to Senator von Imhoff's statements before, I am not a finance professional. Heck, I've been doing this job for 13 months. I don't know if I'm a legislative professional either. But regarding the tax credits, maybe there's some benefit to a local industry investing in the local economy for tax credits. But if we do have funds available at the state, tax credits do cost the state coffer, and why don't we just fund those projects directly if we're looking to fund CETE projects in Fairbanks as opposed to going through the tax credit program? And just the other thing I wanted to add is in the Joint Education Committee hearing we had the other day, I saw a really incredible set of graphs about peak scores. And 20 years ago, I apologize to anybody tuning in on the video, may not be able to see this, but 20 years ago, kind of Alaska was here and the rest of the states were kind of there. And over the last 20 years, Alaska only dropped points in peak scoring, but the rest of the states moved up. And I do not know that that is necessarily because the Read by Nine program, which Florida was the first one to do in 2002, 2003, and 30-something other states have done it in the lower 48 over that 20-year period. I don't know that that was the tide that rose those boats, but that is the tide that's in the Senate Bill 111. And just to see that number, Alaska dropping just points, but the other 48 states, lower 48, rising as a group, I think that that was a real meaningful graph there. Thank you, Chair.
You're welcome. Thank you. Senator Begich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Tom Begich for the record, District J. And I would add that there is data that continues to show that the high-quality pre-kindergarten programs, the $3.2 million that is presently being funded, which includes $1.2 million for the litigants in the Moore lawsuit in particular, but also the $2 million that have been done as the pilot project for pre-kindergarten in the state of Alaska for the last decade, do continue to show strong results because they have high-quality pre-K. And in fact, the pre-K elements of the bill are built directly from that. To answer Senator von Imhoff's question, the idea is to expand that process because we now know not only does it work, but it has long-term efficacy when you tie it to strong reading. So going back to the commissioner's original comments, what will solve the problem? A combination of things, but you have to start somewhere. And we believed when we came together, when the commissioner forced the governor and I to come together and actually talk to each other about this. And I would remind the committee that that was within a year's time of, or a year and a half's time of my brother running against the governor. I didn't necessarily want to have that conversation. I believed that the conversation was going to be politicized, and I believed it was going to be nonproductive. But I listened to the arguments that were made. I watched the connection of like a connecting the dots. If you do A, you get to B, you get to C. I put aside my disagreements, I will say, in with the governor and the governor's perhaps his disagreements with me. I remember those meetings, 55, 56 different areas of difference that we hammered out line by line. Commissioner guiding us through every step of it with his professional expertise, working with his staff. I think what you have before you is a bill that will make a difference. You want transformative change, you start somewhere. This bill, I believe, will get you there.
Any further questions from committee members? Senator Stedman?
Just kind of a comment on the tax credits. I was with Senator Von Imhoff when we were up north in Nome looking at the facility. It doesn't look like it would fit in this title of this bill. So it might be best left for another vehicle as it comes by. But I do support the concept of using that tool. And for those watching at home, it's a tax credit against corporate income tax. So the company would pay a little bit less corporate income tax to the state and then through deductions and then help contribute to these centers around the state. A lot of them are in rural areas. It does give those centers a more stabilized revenue stream than our annual budget process, depending on, you know, how tight things are. So there's some advantages in using it as a funding mechanism. So I think, Mr. Chairman, if a vehicle comes by the committee at some point or one is introduced, we should have that conversation on reinstalling that credit, because it has made a negative difference taking it out to the training programs. And just another quick little add on that, I know it's not the subject today, but out in the more rural areas of Alaska, when they see the opportunity of going to one of these centers and learning how to run a piece of equipment, for example, without these centers, they wouldn't even recognize this stuff exists. So, you know, we got to remember the remoteness of some of our communities. They're beyond rural. So, anyway, we'll wait and have that as a future conversation at some point.
I'd just like to say, to refresh those memories of folks around the table and those listening, as we talk about CTE, my data is a little stale, but when I left the department, only 23% of the high school seniors that graduated need to go to college. The rest of them were destined for two-year degree programs at your various technical colleges and Fairbanks College of Career and Tech Ed, CTC program, apprenticeship programs, et cetera. So, and I'm preaching to the choir here, but I've got the gavel and I'm going to finish preaching. You know, CTE was vocational education. There's a carpenter millwright right there. 5 years of shop classes, I believe. Here's an operating engineer. But today it's career and tech ed, sounds better. But it takes longer to become a journey person, plumber, pipe fitter than it does to become a medical doctor, dentist. So our career and tech ed trades are just as good as and just as important to the economy as a degree person, you know, just not all of us are destined to go to college. And as someone that ran an apprenticeship program, and I'll close on this, that used to have up to 550 people apply, you would be amazed at how many four-year degreed people coming into the apprenticeship program to get a job because they couldn't find a job in the degree program that they went to the university for. Now, I'm not blaming anybody, I'm just the facts. So I'm glad to hear everybody likes career and tech ed here at the table. So, but you got to read before you can get to Career and Tech Ed to read the service manuals, because the service manuals today are reading at grade 14 or higher. So, any other questions? Seeing none, we're going to set this bill aside. I'm going to set an amendment deadline for March. I ain't going to do that. I'm going to take a brief at ease. Back on the record, we're setting amendment deadline for March 9th at 12 noon, high noon, March 9th. Thank you, and seeing no further action today, Senate Finance will not be meeting next week, and we're adjourned at 10 o'clock.